With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
You're on Reality Check Radio. Real talk with Rodney Hyde. Please send me a text at 2057. Email me inbox at realitycheck.radio. Oh, in the break, I got to go to a presentation. I got to go to a presentation of Linda Wharton. Can you imagine that? Wonderful. And then I got to go to a presentation of Let Kids Be Kids, Penny Marie, and her friend Elizabeth Cave, first in Arrowtown. And then I went across to Wanaka and heard the same presentation. And I enjoyed the second one better, and I got more out of it, because the first one, part of me was so shocked, I couldn't take it in. So shocked. And I thought I understood how bad it was. So joining us now is Penny Marie, the founder of Let Kids Be Kids. Penny, good morning.
Hey, Rodney. Nice to be here again. I'm losing my voice, so I sound a little different to what I did in the South.
Have I told you how much I enjoyed your presentation?
You have said it once or twice, and I really appreciate it every time.
Well, I don't like hearing people talk, because I used to have to do it as a job. And mostly it was just people filling up the space in Parliament. So I somewhat reluctantly went and heard you spoke, which is a sad thing to relate. But, oh, my goodness, it was very well done. Amazing information, so well presented. And I enjoyed the people there, because the sort of people that it attracts are our people. So we're going to cover off a couple of things. But first, let's deal with Pink Shirt Day, which is coming up.
Yeah, actually, can I just say, before we get into that, when you talk about the presentation, I want to really encourage people who don't think that they're very good at public speaking or talking about what they know. I used to be the kid in school who would try and fake a sickie on speech day, and I never was confident speaking in public. And then I went to Polytech and I did a marketing and advertising course, and I had to present again and again and again. I hated it. And people say to me now, like, that I was born for this. And I can only say I used to be that one that didn't want to. But when you believe so much in what you have to say, all the fear drops away. And I really want to see more and more people out there speaking up for what they believe in. So I just want to start with that. But yeah, let's go into Pink Shirt Day for you.
That's a wonderful thing. I'm the same. Mm. I never spoke in public ever. Mm. Ever until my first day lecturing as a university lecturer. And it turned out I was fantastically good at it, but I never wanted to do it. I was terribly nervous. I was terribly nervous about Parliament, and I find it exhausting. But it is a funny thing. I can only talk about things if I'm passionate. Mm. And it just comes out.
Yeah.
Pink Shirt Day. What is it?
I want to believe that initially it was about anti-bullying. I haven't gone back in recent times to the initial reason why they created it. But I want to just read out to you what I said when I did my board speech, which was almost a year ago. In fact, I did my board speech on the 23rd of May, 2023, and I believe I was the first in New Zealand to go and do it. And I had done it the week after the school that my son was at had actually celebrated it for the entire week. And so this is why I actually started off with Winston Peters' quote. So can I just read it? It says, his quote said, "The government has no place in the nation's bedroom. So why are our children from age 5 now being taught about relationships, gender and sexuality? Our schools have no right, role or teaching or place teaching young kids this kind of socially driven doctrine. This is not education. This is a deliberate social engineering program designed and controlled by the virtue signaling woke. When did the education minister or prime minister ever ask you if this was okay?" And I read that out in my speech. And then I said, Pink Shirt Friday, which this school spent the entire last week celebrating, is a doorway to invite LGBTQ plus pride and further destabilises the majority of our students who are naturally heterosexual and yet are discriminated against for being so. What a scary, confusing and debased society we are creating by allowing this into our schools and pushing it on our children. Do you have evidence that a week-long pink shirt celebration with pride colours is improving student well-being? If so, then please share this. It is entirely possible that it is being used to usher in a gender-confusing ideology. This ideology has no scientific basis. It is a theory birthed by sexual deviants, John Money and Alfred Kinsey. And then I provide references. So a year ago I said that, and they just laughed it off and said, no, it was just about bullying. And they were never able to provide me with evidence that running it actually helped the children in that school. So I've since done more research that we can talk about. But that was kind of where I was raising the alarm bells a year ago.
And like, it seems almost every school has a pink shirt day.
Yeah, I think, well, the schools get a choice. And I just would say to parents to just check, because it's next Friday, I think the 17th of May. And I went on to the website of the school that my son was at, and they have a calendar and it just says Mufti Day. So if you've got a school that's having a Mufti Day next week and they haven't told you where the money's going, I would also ask about that.
Because the money, I know the money at my kid's school was going to Rainbow Youth or Inside Out.
Yes, so I just went onto the website, so you can go and have a look at for yourself at Pink Shirt Day. Sorry, let me just tell you what it is. Yeah, pinkshirtday.org.nz. And I actually just went to the FAQs, and it says, where does my money go? And it says, it will help the Mental Health Foundation of New Zealand too. Provide schools with free educational resources that teach children about the impact of bullying. Fund Inside Out to run rainbow inclusive workshops in schools. Provide workplaces with free suites of resources to help them build positive environments, which, by the way, I learnt that Inside Out goes into workplaces as well. And continue to build a movement of upstanders. So the second bullet point was that they fund Inside Out. So they say it on their own website. Now, when I did my speech, I said, I think it's being used to usher in this gender stuff, and they denied that. But they're saying it on their own website that that's what the money's going towards.
And for some schools, Pink Shirt Day is a week.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
In our local school, they when we first turned up, they had Pink Shirt Day, and the teachers would go nuts on it. They'd all be taking pictures of themselves in the staff room with their funny pink things on and, oh, how much fun this is, and we're all supporting anti-bullying. The kids were literally bullied, which is hard to believe, bullied to wear a pink shirt and give money. And I wasn't aware of it the first time around. The second time around I was, and our kids didn't go, I think. And then we had a change of principal, and now there's almost – I don't think we even do Pink Shirt Day. I think not for me, but I think there's such a pushback from parents about what was going on.
And it has to be that pushback from parents, because I think there's a lot of people in school that genuinely just think that this is innocent. So I'm not sort of trying to point out anyone who's pushing it. I think they're just doing what they think is the right thing.
But yes.
Even this morning, I had a father text me and say, and it must have been from last year because it hasn't happened yet for this year, that his son went to school and said he wasn't going to wear anything pink, and he got marched off to the principal's office. That was at a primary school.
The boy decided he wasn't wearing pink.
That's right. And he got sent to the principal's office.
No.
Yeah. And I've heard lots of stories about that. I've heard stories that kids have refused to wear colours and have been sent home to go and put brighter colours on. So the kids themselves are rebelling in their own way because they know. And it just blows my mind that the school would discipline children for not abiding by the rule of the colour to wear. Like, that never, ever would have happened in Mufti days in my day.
I get pushback, And I want to know what the answer to this is. People say, oh, you're talking too much about this gender stuff. It's not that big a deal. What's your answer?
It's really tough when you sit in the space and you're looking at it all the time, because I would hope that people are not looking at it all the time like we are. And so, you know, people like me would talk about it more than the average person. But to me, and you would know from coming to listen to our presentation, it's so insidious, and it's in many parts of society that unless we put it together and see it for what it is, which is not, it's definitely from my point of view, not a little bit of funding to help a small marginalized group of people. And it's definitely something bigger than that. So yeah, it's a tough one. A lot of people who know that it's rubbish and can just turn away and look the other way would say, yeah, it's not a big deal. But children are being harmed, and adults who should be standing up to protect children are actually siding with the narrative of this whole gender thing, and the fact that if you say anything about it, you're labelled as transphobic and homophobic, which to me is bullying, right? Mm. It's a complete inversion of what bullying is. So I hear a lot of stories from parents and kids themselves saying that they get bullied for lots of stuff at school that has nothing to do with gender, and yet no one wants to hear it. And then you look at how much money is being put into these poor children that are being bullied for their gender status, and it doesn't compute to any logical person.
I always worry about bringing in my personal stories because my wife will complain. But my daughter at primary school had a friend who came from another school and who was, quote, gay. Of course she wasn't, but she told everyone she was gay. And my daughter said, oh, I think she's saying that because she was being bullied at the other school. And if she said she was gay, they'd take it seriously.
Yep, I would totally believe that.
And also, that boy being marched off to the principal's office for choosing not to wear a pink shirt day, that's the very definition of bullying.
Yep.
And the teachers are in on it.
Yeah. Can I tell you another story? Because we're talking to parents all the time, and this is not about the gender stuff, but it's about bullying. Is that I had a mum talk to me a month or so ago whose child was hit by another student, and it caused concussion. And she took the complaint to the school and they didn't want to know. And she took the complaint to the police and they didn't want to know. And so she was stuck because she's like, well, I've got a doctor's certificate saying that he got concussion from being hit and no one's helping. So to me, that is a clear case of this child was actually physically assaulted. It wasn't even bullying. And all of the authorities turn and look the other way. Now, that's terrible in itself. But when you compare it to this massive amount of promotion around how gender confused or people who are identifying as anything other than heterosexual are being so marginalised and hated on and bullied, nothing about this makes sense. And we have to start talking about it. People don't talk about it because it's awkward, because, again, they get called names. Like anytime you get called, I got called homophobic and transphobic by stuff while I was doing my tour. Now, I'm not. My son is gay. Two of my best friends are gay. There is nothing in anything that I've put out publicly that would realistically be labelled as that. But they just slap that word on it when you do something they don't like. To me, that is bullying.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the help for me? Where is the legal support for me? It's nowhere, because I don't identify as transgender.
Crazy, right?
Right?
And you have been looking at this pink shirt day and at the stats behind it. What have you found there that they're relying on?
Yeah, so there's this flyer.
You sent it to me, so let me look at it. I'll bring it up.
Yeah, there's this flyer that's going around about pink shirt day, and it's got all the stats, and don't the government agencies like to use stats to confound people? So one of them, and we've got this link, actually, we'll put it back up on our social media, but it's up on our Twitter and Facebook at the moment. It says over 1 in 5 transgender students, 23%, said that they had been bullied at school weekly or more often in the past year, compared to 5% of cisgender students. So I went and looked at the actual study that that is taken from, because 1 in 5 doesn't sound like much, and there aren't many transgender students in New Zealand. So what numbers are they actually talking about? And so when I look at the numbers, this study that it was taken from, 7,721 students participated. 1% of those students identified as transgender, so that's 77 students. And 23% of that 77 students said that they had been bullied, bullied at school weekly or more often in the last year. So that's 17 students in one study that said that they'd been bullied, and now they make a national campaign about it. 17 students. Yep. And so I just want to say what's also in that study is it then asks mental health questions. Now it says 57% of those 77 students, so that's 44, had significant depressive symptoms and self-harm, and 26%, being 20 students, had attempted suicide. So more students had serious mental health issues than said that they were bullied. And I want to ask the people that ran the study, did you triage those people and help them? Or did you just like counting numbers so that you could use it to sway the population? Because to me, the concerning thing about that study is there were 44 students picked up in that study that were self-harming and 20 that were suicidal. What was done for those children?
Isn't that extraordinary? So you do a survey. Oh, yep. Here we go. 17 students were saying, and of course we don't know what the bullying is, because it could be just, oh, you're homo, right? Or yes. It could be violent. We don't know the level of the bullying. I'm not saying that calling someone a homo is acceptable, but there are degrees of bullying.
Yes.
And we know that these days we've been schooled to be triggered very early on being bullied, right?
Yeah.
Even denying that someone is trans is probably bullying. But twice as many kids, more than twice as many kids, are self-harming.
Yeah.
Now, that's not saying, oh, I'm feeling a bit depressed, right? Because that could be a range too. But self-harming, and I hadn't realized, there's an epidemic of kids cutting themselves.
Yep, there is. And the stats appear to be higher for those that are identifying as having some sort of a gender change from their born sex. And common sense would say there's a link there, and it isn't because the child is being bullied, it's because the child is being told lies, potentially, to confuse their identity. Why is no one having that conversation?
Well, it's so interesting, isn't it? Because this is the correlation causation thing, is that what they say is, oh, yes, they're self-harming because they're being bullied and because society's not making way for them and their transgender journey. But these could be kids crying out for help. And there's an underlying problem, which is why they're identifying as trans, why they're self-harming, why they're depressed, and why some of them are trying to kill themselves.
Yes. It's a cry for help.
It's a cry for help. Yes. And what we're doing is saying, oh, you're okay. It's everyone else that has to change.
Yes. And we have to affirm them no matter what, which is creating, I would hazard a guess that that's creating more distress, because children actually need boundaries and they need to know that their adults are helping them. And so they don't know. Kids don't know. You know, they haven't lived the experience of adults to know that we make mistakes and we think something one day and then the next day we might think something else. You know, I was told.
And if you did the survey and you got these numbers, you wouldn't pull out of it, we've got a problem with bullying. You pull out quite a different story, because you look at the numbers and you say, oh, my goodness, we've got a significant number of kids that we can identify. That is to say, those kids that are identifying as non-binary, and over half of them on our survey are self-harming, over half of them.
So there's massive flaws with the quality of the studies. This is what I go back to, is when you look at who has run the studies, they are all people who appear to be on the side of pushing the transgender narrative. There don't, I can't really say more than that, but that's what we look at, is the quality of the study, but also what you said, which is what defines bullying. When a child says, yes, I've been bullied, is it because they walked past somebody who called them a name? Because that isn't bullying. Now, that's like, we need to teach our children about resilience. The world is not, the world is not all peace and moonbeams, right? There are people that say mean things all the time. There are adults and kids that say mean things. But does that constitute bullying, or does that just constitute a day? And what's the difference? And even when I looked at this research, it actually said that one of the bits about bullying, and it actually said that the majority of the kids that said that they were bullied by a sibling. Now, to me, that's a very different conversation to using Pink Shirt Day to promote the anti-bullying thing, because if they're bullied by a sibling more than they're bullied by somebody in the schoolyard, that's a home conversation. And again, most kids would say that their sibling bullied them because their siblings call each other names, right? So is it even worthy of...
And they push and shove and they do all sorts of things, rough
and
tumble.
Is it even worthy of spending a lot of money to do these studies? This is the problem. We create these studies are funded by the universities and lots of other agencies to push data, which then tells us there's a problem that actually isn't there. Right.
And this Pink Shirt Day isn't innocent.
No, and you've got to, you just go on the website, and even one of the other things that I just saw when I went onto the website was... there's a page called Stories, so pinkshirtday.org.nz and then Stories. And I just noted it down. It includes one story about being transgender inclusive, one story about promoting an inside-out diversity workshop, one story about a transgender woman, and one story about a campaign for gender-neutral toilets in schools. Now, don't tell me this is about bullying. That's not bullying. Well, it is, but it's not in the way that they're saying. That's saying that the only way to be is to be somewhere other than heterosexual on the gender spectrum, which is made up, by the way. There isn't a gender spectrum. You are born female or male, and there is a very small percentage of the population that's born intersex, which is with atypical genitalia. That's it. We've got to stop talking about things that aren't real.
I just clicked on this, right? This is Pink Shirt Day that primary school kids get involved in. I did what you said. I clicked on it. I picked up real stories. The opening story is Burnett. The people who have stood up to their bullies, so she's not a her or a him, she's a their, are their heroes. So you just roll your eyes. Upstanders like their dad, teachers, husband, friends and colleagues, even strangers. Nat identifies as queer non-binary and uses pronouns, both pronouns they, she. Sadly, they have experienced bullying through their life as an outsider at school, working in the performing arts space, and as a bisexual and heterosexual in a heterosexual relationship. What the hell? In the light of their own experience, Nat loves the Pink Shirt Day cuppa popper and wants to encourage and celebrate people who are upstanders. Being an upstander is a way for allies to really step up and show their support for people experiencing discrimination. It's about being brave enough to stand beside someone and say, I see you, and this behavior is not okay. So this is what Pink Shirt Day is.
I'll just read out too, because I did find under the FAQs, it says, why is it talks about where Pink Shirt Day did start. So it says Pink Shirt Day began in Canada in 2007 because a student experienced homophobic bullying for wearing pink. Bullying can affect anyone, but people who identify as LGBTQIA+ experience higher rates of bullying. Now, and then it says here, it references that same survey that we just looked at. It says, for instance, 1 in 5 transgender students, 23%, said they had been bullied at school weekly. Now, that refers back to what I just said. When you actually look at the study, that was... 17 students. So do we need a nationwide campaign for this, or do those students that were in that study that were picked up as experiencing distress, were they helped or were they pathwayed into more distress?
And they've got their media supporters, which is NZME and Warner Brothers, on their webpage.
Yes.
It's very sophisticated and very slick and very, very dark.
Yep. So I would just say to parents, don't keep putting your heads in the sand about any of this stuff, and don't be bullied into saying that you're a transphobe, homophobe if you aren't. You know, if you want to say anything, you actually got the data, just go do some homework, go and look at the website, decide whether you think that this is okay, whether you want your child succumbing to it, and also whether you want to give a gold coin to it or not. So I would suggest that you go to school, email it so it's on record, email the principal and the board and say, are you running this? And if you are, my child will be absent that day because I don't support it. And tell them why. Be brave. Tell them why. They need to know. They're just ticking boxes, you know.
I can see you and others can't. And you're tearing up.
It's unbelievable that we have to put so much energy into this. And it's heartbreaking how much money has gone into this and people like us that do this for nothing, because it's harming our children. I hear the stories every day, and the stories are in my own family too. They're lying to us, you know?
Can you share?
Yeah, so my son identified as gay, and he went from being a really well-rounded kid to being really focused, hyper-focused on his gayness and his inability to find a support group to help him. And I took him along to Rainbow Youth myself, in an effort to try and help him to find people that he wanted to talk to. And he came out of that meeting, this was in 2020, he came out of that and he says, Mum, what the F's a pronoun? I just want to be a gay kid. I don't want to know about transgendering and all of that stuff. And I didn't understand at the time, but now I can see with clear eyes that for anyone that's gay, being gay isn't enough. They want to keep confusing them. And I think that really messed with him and destabilized him. And so, you know, we talk to people in the LGB community and they say, this is not about us. We do not side with this pride movement. It's not the same conversation as being same-sex attracted. And for kids, they're being told it everywhere and online and in all these places that we can't see. And so they really believe that it's true, and it isn't true. It isn't true.
And so the movement of accepting that there are people attracted to the same sex, that they should be able to live their life fully as human responsible beings and treated like everyone else, has been taken over by an agenda which is doing what?
It's deconstructing their identity.
And I know what that is after having attended your presentation, because the key thing is this isn't focusing on a hyper minority of kids.
Mm-hmm.
This is after every kid, so that every kid is confused about who they are. And rather than focusing on character, it's focusing on race and gender.
Yeah, and we can see the results of that in society, can't we?
Your son told you he was gay what age?
15.
Did you think he was gay previous?
No. No.
How did you handle him telling you that he was gay?
I'd figured it out because he'd told me that he was keeping secrets from me, and we weren't like that as a family. And so I'd actually gone through a process of elimination of going, well, I don't think he's in trouble with the law. I don't think he's in trouble at school. I don't think he's got his girlfriend pregnant. You know, I sort of went through this whole process of elimination going, what could he be ashamed of telling me? And I asked him, and so he said yes. And I just said, but what's the big deal? Because I love you. We love you anyway, regardless of what label you would attach to yourself. And I said, you know, I've got friends that are gay. And I said, and now is probably, you know, a good time in history to be gay. It wouldn't have been like that a couple of hundred years ago. But in our experience, that wasn't enough of an answer because he hyper-focused on it. And it changed who he was because he wanted to align with a minority group. And I didn't know what I know now, obviously, which is why I do what I do, is, you know, those things. And then people say, oh, it's just normal teenage stuff, or they grow out of it. But it was attention-seeking behaviour. And it was very much making him pitch against the parents. And now what I look at, and we share this in our presentation as well, is how there are other things going on in the system, in the education system, that is deconstructing the child's trust and relationship with his parents.
Because your son, once he went along to these groups, he came under their sway.
And they don't talk about, well, from my understanding and looking at what I see in the videos, they don't promote open relationships with the parents as the most important thing for a child who's under distress or confused. They filter them off to other agencies.
Because what we think of it is, you say, oh, he's a musician, he's done this, he's done that, he's got this, he's got this. Oh, and by the way, he's gay.
Yeah.
But nowadays it's, I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay. Look at me, I'm gay. And that's this hyper-focus is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, and even I don't even think that young people that identify as gay, I don't even think that that's enough anymore for this movement. You know, there's such a difference between being same-sex attracted than there is to saying I was born in the wrong body, and this is the messaging, right? So he said to me a couple of times he went along to different groups. One was that one, and one was a group that he went along to in school, and he's like, I don't know what's up with these people. They're all over the place. He goes, I'm just gay. And I said to him, I don't understand enough about this world to know, but you're in a world now that I don't know. I don't understand it. Now I'm like, wow, I see what it was. It's like they find kids that may be experiencing distress or that may say that they're gay,
Handling being gay at 15 at school is, of course, stressful.
Do you know what, though? I watched a video the other day, and it was one of the Rainbow Youth videos, and it was about homophobia and transphobia, because this is what I've been called, and this is what this pink shirt day is all about. And when I watch it, I go, oh, what if he'd watched something like that? Because what they were doing was shaming themselves for saying, well, I was closet lesbian, and so what I would do was I would go out there and be like a homophobe, and so that I could hide behind it. Mm. And that's what he started saying to me. He started saying, I used to hassle the gays, and I was homophobic, and so maybe I'm gay, and I was actually doing it to hide who I really was. And then I saw it on a video, and I went, that's exactly what he was saying. Do you know what I mean? So you start looking at the stuff going, hang on. Has he seen this stuff? And then he started questioning himself. And so for anyone, any parent that's out there that this rings true for, keep looking and come to Let Kids Be Kids and get in touch with us, because we're literally trying to unpack what we've experienced in our own homes, and we've been scratching our heads going, how'd this happen? Why did this start happening? And you're exactly right when you said, because he kept saying to me, I just want to find people like me. And I said, but you have all these interests. I said, I don't run around trying to find a heterosexual group. I run around and go and do things that I like doing with people that I like doing. And it's other activities like going to the gym or going for a bushwalk. I said, so you're interested in this and this, so let's get you into this and this. I said, and it doesn't matter what sexual preference those people have, because it's actually about what you're interested in, not about your label, right? So this was a few years ago. This was like three or four years ago. So I can imagine it's only got worse with young people.
And before this, your son was like he had a complete change in his personality.
Mm. Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, he was academic, sporty, popular, and then he started having, like mental health issues, and anxiety actually was one that I didn't pick up for a while because I hadn't experienced it, but anxiety, memory blocks, just physical things that were going on. But what happened was we went through the adolescent mental health system, and they actually made it worse because they were saying, your son's fine and it's all your fault. And as a parent who's desperately trying to find a solution for their child, to be told by a so-called professional who doesn't know you, who's met you for 5 minutes, that it's all your fault, is probably one of the most damaging things that a caring parent can be told. And they know that, right? So that deconstructed our relationship. It made me lose my confidence in myself. It affected my relationship with my husband at the time. And it's completely destroys you. And you're scratching your head going, but I know my son and something's going wrong. And I know I'm not a perfect mother, but it wasn't me that caused this. I want to know what caused this. And I tell you what's harmful too, is that a lot of people say—
And this is a boy that grew in your womb.
Yeah.
That you nurtured. And here are these bastards
blaming you.
And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of minutes of meeting you.
There's people out there too that say that when their kids go off the rails, that it's all because of what's going on at home. And I always rebut that because I've met plenty of parents in my time, and I'm included, that we go through some hell with our kids. And we're scratching our heads trying to figure out what happened to our wonderful children. And, yep, no one's perfect. But I tell you what, there is more external pressures and influences that parents don't know about happening to our children than I would say probably ever in history because of what's happening online. And so it's very naive of parents, of people out there, to just say they must have had shitty parents, because there's really good parents out there with kids that have got real distress going on, and it's not the parents' fault. So I just want to shout out to parents who are going through it.
Do you think your son is gay?
I don't know.
Isn't that telling in itself?
Yeah. From what was said to me when we were speaking, I would question it. But it has made me realise that there was a big amount of pressure on the side of that. And I think people like him who make a big song and dance about it then can't retract it. And actually I was talking to someone just yesterday.
And of course, interestingly, it didn't bother you that he was gay. You didn't go, oh my God, you can't be, not my son, like you. You followed perfectly what we're taught to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe so. Yeah. I was just going to say, I was talking to someone yesterday who knows a child who started identifying as the opposite gender, and the parent went along with it. And then the child, who's still less than 10, has now said, actually, I want to go back to being a girl. And the parent has said, no, you can't do that. And there are so many deep layers of deception there. But of all of it, I would just say to parents, listen to your intuition on this one. Don't listen to the so-called experts who are saying that if you don't affirm your child, something bad's going to happen, because something bad is happening for that child to be in the distress that they're in. Listen to your intuition before listening to policies.
Let kids be kids is the most beautiful tagline and name that you could ever have. And it's got such a beautiful symbol with the rainbow colored balls going across, let kids be kids. And then protecting their innocence. And it's almost, in my experience, impossible to protect them because they go off to school and are bombarded.
Mm.
And my kids have been taught by my wife and I, which is a terrible thing to have to do, that this is rubbish.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you got to wash the indoctrination off them, right?
You got to wash it out.
Mm.
And they're no longer innocent by virtue of that, by virtue of being bombarded at it. And I can't imagine a greater evil.
Mm.
And of course, at the same time, no parent is being told of this.
Mm.
No parent is aware of what is happening in our schools with this. You can't even find out when you ask. I've got an older daughter that tells me, but the other two don't.
Yep. That's all right. And so if the parents don't know, the children are likely to find out stuff before the parents and possibly never tell the parents. Yep.
And they know stuff in that curriculum, and I'm not an innocent, that I'd never heard of.
Yep. Yep. They're using adult concepts, and also I would call them lies, and they're telling them to our children like they're fact, but they're also saying things like, your sex assigned at birth, which is a lie. Your sex was not assigned by a doctor at birth.
It's the craziest thing you could ever imagine.
Yep.
Believing. And kids at school now accept that as a truth.
Yeah.
And if you question it, you're a dinosaur that will die off.
So does that not sound like indoctrination if you tell a lie enough times that it becomes the truth?
Yes.
Right. This is what we have to start calling it what it is, right? They're changing the language to change the social fabric.
And you can't be a well-adjusted child growing up, building a good character, if the very essence of being a boy and a girl, which is a big thing in society, but an especially big thing at school, boys, you know, boys and girls, big difference, that was just an arbitrary thing that a doctor gave you.
Yeah.
Like the enormity of it.
And when you look at the material that they're using in these videos that they show to kids in school, is they always go on about, oh, you know, your parents just chose to raise you as a boy or a girl and they could have got it wrong. I mean, they're really demoralizing parents and making parents sound really stupid to children.
I shared with you my daughter's stuff from first year high school where she goes off to PE. And they have a session on bullying, which is odd in itself, right?
Mm.
Like, you don't have struggle sessions on bullying typically. You just say, there's going to be no bullying here, kids.
Yeah.
And you deal to the bullies. And we have a picture of bullying, right? But this is bullies teaching you about anti-bullying, which is, tell us about that material.
Yeah, well, that's similar to the stuff that we were looking at with the Pink Shirt Day, right? The problem I think that we have, well, I know that we have, is we live in a whole culture which is built on bullying through policy, through workplaces, through narcissistic behaviour. We live in a world where we're controlled by bullies. And this trans thing, this whole narrative is part of that, because if you dare question it, you're called a name. That's bullying, sorry, but being called transphobic and homophobic for speaking out from personal experience and from all the people that I talk to, that is bullying. So why can't we call it bullying? Oh, we can't call it bullying.
Because that's a trick, isn't it?
Yep.
If you say, I'm opposed to bullying, then it never occurs to someone to say you're a bully, right? Because you're opposed to it. Yeah. It's this great propaganda trick, I know, through the 20th century, probably forever, where it's like the socialists are for the workers, even while they destroy them. And this anti-bullying is the most bullying thing I've ever seen.
Let me read to you what the deputy mayor of Nelson wrote back to me, because he was the one who so-called complained to me when I complained about me to the local paper after I had done my meeting in Nelson. Now, he didn't come to the meeting, right? My assumption is that he's gay and that he probably got told about the meeting by someone else in the community who was trying to shut down the meetings. But he says, as a community leader, I have seen firsthand the devastating impacts of homophobia and transphobia on our city and its residents, particularly our rangatahi. Across your publications, you've published messages that go against scientific consensus, that spread half-baked conspiracy theories which hold no journalistic merit, and that reflect and promote attitudes and rhetoric that cause direct harm to treated members of our community. That's what he said about me. And to me, he's a public servant in a position of power who's gone to the media instead of me about a complaint that he has. And then he sent me stuff with headlines from newspapers about homosexuals. And, you know, he needs to be reprimanded for that. He's in a position of power. I'm a concerned parent speaking from personal experience. He hasn't had the time to talk to me. He didn't get back to me until after the newspaper article had gone live, and the beginning of his email says, sorry for the delay in getting back to you. It was not the top of my list of priorities. So he purposely waited until after the article. I mean, this is bullying
But you see, he's also setting you up.
Totally setting me up.
For a crime.
Yeah. A hate crime, because, apparently.
Yes, you're causing direct harm. That's his word. And that's part of what they do, that just by talking about a concern that you have, you're causing this direct harm. And it's a replay of the, if you don't get the jab, you'll kill Nana, being told to kids, right?
Yeah.
So you are causing this direct harm. We can't have people in our society going around causing direct harm. Therefore, we have to punish them or lock them up, because that's the direct harm. Like, how can words cause direct harm? I mean, but this is this hate speech. This is this Jacinda thing. This is the world that we're in. This is how your children get pulled apart from your children because you're a transphobe. You're causing harm, mum. You're causing harm, dad. You shouldn't be doing this. And I guarantee he's a young kid, this deputy mayor.
Yeah. Early 20s, I think. Yeah.
Gone through the university system, the school system, full of himself, full of his gayness, and chip on his shoulder weighing him down, and it's all that he can hyperventilate about is his gayness and how bad he's had his life, and he knows nothing.
Well, it's a victim mindset, right? So this is what comes through the terminology of all of this stuff, is it's a victim mindset of saying, and it's using word, like we're in a word war, aren't we? We're in a language war. And so, and you're like, it goes right back to this survey on bullying, which is like, what's the definition of bullying? Is bullying just walking past someone in the playground and them saying, hey, you're ninny? You know, is that a bully? Can I then fill out a survey saying I was? Yeah. I mean, like, there's nothing about resilience and there's nothing about focusing on the positive. Like, you know, we talked about this whole this whole identity thing in our conversation with Elizabeth, and the foundation of a secure identity is focusing on the positive. It's your character, it's your care for one another, it's the positive words, right? It's it's your empathy, and it's your actual tolerance, and it's all those things. And then they've turned it all around and they're using negative words, which is victimizing yourself. And so now what I see in a lot of young people is this whole, the world owes them something. And everything is, they're the victim of everything. And that's such a disempowering way to live.
Total. Totally. Total. You can't imagine a more useless and, oh, God, it's awful. And, of course, we see it with these Hollywood celebrities and politicians now. They're all victims of, you know, who they are and their identity. Oh, my goodness, it makes you want to throw up. Tell me, what should we be doing ahead of Pink Shirt Day?
I would, I would contact the school if you have a Mufti Day on the 17th of May and ask them if the money is going towards Pink Shirt Day or the Mental Health Foundation or Inside Out. And then you decide as a parent, you go, am I okay with this? Do I think that's okay? And by the way, they get millions and millions from the government anyway, so they probably don't need your gold coin. And if the school doesn't want to listen, then, you know, decide whether you want to send your child to school that day to be bullied into thinking that if they don't wear a pink shirt, that they're a bully. Like, we've got to have some common sense about this. But I do think, too, it's a big thing about talking to your kids, because a lot of kids go along with things because they don't want to be told that they're a bully. Like, the psychological war on our young people is intense. So, you know, what is the best outcome for your own child? Because you've got the responsibility for that.
The thing about words is crucial, isn't it?
Yeah.
Those who would, it's George Orwell. My goodness.
Ministry of Truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
And the use of words. So you call it a vaccine. Oh, they're so great, you know. If you called it genetically engineered medicine or a GMO or whatever, you'd run a mile. But they use these soft words, vaccine, safe and effective. 97% of scientists agree. Just made up stuff everywhere you look. And then anyone who questions it, they have to be dealt to so harshly, and they have to be named. They have to be given a bad name. Oh, you're a climate change denier, you know, or what were we called? Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Oh, done your own research. What are your qualifications?
Yeah.
On and on it goes. And of course, the media are absolutely in the box on this.
They're driving it.
They're driving it.
Yeah, yeah. You can tell because the same words come up again and again and again. And
and then this famous rainbow tick. How clever has that been? You gotta sit back, and you gotta say, this is extraordinarily clever.
Yeah, you gotta hand it to them, right?
To get the police to have a rainbow tick, and next minute, the police are driving around in rainbow cars. Next minute, the police are arresting you for painting over a rainbow pedestrian walkway and fining you more than if you'd beaten someone up in the street.
Have you seen the rainbow concrete mixers?
Yes, I have. Sickening. Then, like, concrete mixers, they used to be men's men. Anyway.
That's insanity.
And then, the police standing aside, while an elderly lady gets smacked in the face.
Yeah.
At Let Women Speak.
Yep.
The whole thing is wrapped up. It's like we are in Orwell's world. He told us this was coming.
And where do you go for help? That's the question. Like, when you know that you can't go to the police for help, and and if you're in a parent in school and you've got a problem and you would normally go to the principal and they're not helping, like, where do you go? And yeah, so you go to one another, like, and that's what Let Kids Be Kids is, and there are other organisations out there trying to do this as well, but we need to start talking to each other and supporting and advocating for one another, very grassroots, you know, like,
absolutely.
You can ask them to change policy, and that's definitely huge. But before policy changes, our own hearts can change, and we can all decide that this is a load of rubbish and we need to start speaking the truth.
And COVID taught me you can't stand against madness on your own, because
no.
It drives you insane.
Yeah.
And You have to be constantly affirmed that you're not the only one thinking like this. I just quickly, I worked on a isolated construction job for a couple of years. It was in the Shetland Islands, and it was very harsh, and it was very boring and very tough. And the guys would play tricks on each other. And they did it to a friend of mine. And it was where North was. Right?
Yeah.
And we were positioning a bit of machinery. And he said, well, this way is North. And one guy says, no, it's not, Kiwi, it's this way. Yeah, no, it's this way. And then everyone started to argue about where North was, but they all decided that my Kiwi mate was wrong. And this went on for days. And it literally, he left.
Wow.
And that happened quite a lot. It was sort of like an amusement thing, because you'd get up and you'd say, well, today's Tuesday. No, it's Wednesday today.
The power of groupthink. Hey.
Yeah, and they would say, hey, it's Wednesday. Yeah, yeah. And everyone would sort of get in on it, right? And say, no, it's freaking Tuesday. And it's exactly that feeling, because, you know, we're in a, and it was sort of, it was fun because you knew they were sort of joking. But in another way, it was deeply upsetting. And that to me was like a microcosm, a very small insight into when I saw your presentation, into what they're doing to the most vulnerable members of our society, our children. And amongst our most vulnerable members of society, our children, they're pulling up the most vulnerable ones, the ones that are a bit stressed at home, the ones that might be a bit confused about puberty and sexuality and social relationships and who they are, and they're destroying them.
And a slick, funded professional with paid actors and Shortland Street actors way. With very flashy, professional-looking material.
That video you showed was absolutely out of the cultural revolution, but sophisticated beyond all get-up. It was sort of like the cultural revolution meets Disney.
I was watching you while we played that video, and because I know you, and I'm sure I saw smoke coming out of your ears. I felt for you while you were watching it, because it shocks people. So this, just for the listeners, it's one of the videos in the Year 10 Navigating the Journey resources. It's called Gender Identity, and it's a New Zealand On Air funded suite of resources with Shortland Street actors telling our children in Year 10 that they are born on a gender spectrum. And a lot of schools have said that they're using it, and a lot of kids have come home telling their parents that they saw it without their parents' knowledge. It's really disturbing.
I had smoke coming out of my ears.
You did.
Because I can't imagine. I know my children. I can't imagine anything more destructive of who they are than that video. And what I couldn't get over was sophisticated people have put that together and paid for it. Probably themselves bullied into doing it because they'd signed up to the rainbow tick. And then, you know, overworked teachers. This is a bit tricky. I don't want to talk about this. I'll flick the video on. Sure. And then I can wash my hands of it. And I know the video's the right thing to say because the Ministry of Education have given it the tick and I don't have to handle it, and I can play the video and job done. And you watch that video, sick to my stomach, smoke coming out of my ears, because you're attacking the most precious thing to my life.
Yep.
In the most insidious way. and I'm paying for it. I'm working hard to get my kids to school on time, get the bus, go. Everyone is doing this. And these, I'm going to say it again, bastards are betraying that trust that we and I and you and our listeners have placed in them. Smoke out of my ears didn't capture it. I wrote to our local mayor last year, and he was all on, they had a pride week in the ski season, and he was all on about being welcoming and all the rest of it. And so I dropped them a short email, and I said, look, I had a pretty shocking incident with a man coming out of the girls' changing rooms. And it was upsetting for my kids. And what's your position on men entering girls' toilets and changing rooms? Because I said, my kids now won't go to the toilets or changing rooms in public. Well, pretty simple question. His answer was, your concerns have been noted.
Wow.
So you got this mayor, father, husband, male, doesn't have the testosterone to say, under my watch, girls will be kept safe.
It blows your mind, right, doesn't it? How this, and this is what we talk about, right, through the presentation, is that policies have become more important than people.
Yeah.
And how can people who are enforcing these policies entirely disassociate their moral conscience from a policy? Policy is a piece of paper. Why is it so hard to use common sense and just say no to this stuff?
I've got the fortunate position that I've been in cabinet. And I've seen how bureaucracy works inside and out. And it's crazy, right? Because it's hard to believe how easy it is for a very small group committed to take something over.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine you're the commissioner of police or the prime minister, and they say, oh, you know, we want you to be inclusive and anti-bullying, or a headmaster. And you say, yeah, no, I'm into this. I'm into, you know, I've got not a prejudiced bone in my body, and, you know, people can live their own life, knock themselves out. Okay, well, you're great, because, you know, you can pick, you can have the rainbow tick. Give us some money and we'll give you the rainbow tick, and you'll be all into inclusion. Because if you don't have the rainbow tick, you know, we'll think you've got a problem. Oh, I wouldn't want that. Tick, I pay the tick, tick. And then, well, you've got the rainbow tick. Yeah, I've got the rainbow tick. Well, if you allow Posey Parker to speak, you're not worthy of the tick. Oh, well, what would that mean? Oh, well, you'll be in the news having your tick removed. That's how it works, right?
Tell me that that's not bullying, right?
Of course it's bullying. Mm. Classic bullying.
Can I ask you a question as someone who's been in Parliament? Do you believe that New Zealand is a democracy right now?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a democracy in the sense, every 3 years, we can vote the government out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's my definition of a democracy. We don't actually have to go in and cut heads off. We can vote them out peacefully. However, we have a political class who are aligned. And so our choice is narrow. So we can't vote for what we want.
Yeah.
So in that sense, if you're saying, well, democracy means you can vote for what you want, we're denied that. Even my own party, that party, is completely bought into this stuff and COVID. More importantly, we have a political class who love politics. Chris Luxon, to me, I've never met the man, but to me, he's just happy being prime minister. Doesn't want to do anything. So we have a political class who are there to be there. And the whole thing is run by a bureaucracy. And a minister does not control his or her department. For 99% of it, the department controls the minister. And I know that when I was a minister, because you so heavily rely on your department to look after you in terms of what's going on. They could destroy you in 2 minutes by how they give you information or what they don't give you.
Yeah, and my concern with that, and I'm obviously
so I haven't in that been sense, it. We don't have it.
We don't have a democracy. Yeah,
because our government has become too big.
Yes,
and you can see this with Christopher Luxon. He's not been able to shift the dial on any of this stuff, nor has Winston Peters. Nothing's changed in education.
Well, this is what I was going to say is the ministries are driving it, and the ministries are informed through research. Research is coming from the universities. The universities are doing research that's funded to provide one narrative, and the narrative is not reflective of the people. That's the path that I can see. So then I ask myself, are we in a democracy? And I would say no. Because it's not by referendum, it's not by people's choice. These should be public servants beholden to the will of the people, but they seem to be beholden to the will of flawed research, intellectual opinion, rather than opinion of the people who actually are the people that the policies would affect, and the people who are trying to have a say, whether it be by petition or submission or protest. They're being ignored. So are we in a democracy?
And in that sense, you're right. It's a little worse than that.
Yeah.
Because the other thing I've observed is the bureaucracy is status governed. So it's all about status, and status is everything. It's like who's got the biggest office or, you know, there's funny little protocols. For example, when you have a ministerial meeting, you meet in the most important minister's office, right? And it's quite a convenient role, but it's all about the status.
Hierarchy.
Right? Hierarchy. The bureaucracies are all the same. It's all about hierarchy. And it's all about qualification. You know, he's got a PhD in this, you know, he's studied this, he's got this expertise. And the nature of living in a status organization, it's not about what you've done. It's not about what you've produced. It's not about what you've achieved. It's about your status. And on top of that, they have power. Power, like you can't believe. And I've got to tell you, when you get a taste of that power, which I had a small taste of, it's intoxicating and lovely, right? You do enjoy it. Power, along with living in a status situation, means you look down on everyone. So the bureaucracy sit there, the Ministry of Education sit there. They are not public servants. They look down on you. They look down on me. They look down on parents. They look down on teachers. And they have this power. And then there's another funny thing. Because they know about power, they also look up. They're totally irreligious. So they don't look up to God. They look up to the UN. Because that's the big government. That's ultimately going to be the world government in their mind's eye. They see that as all the countries of the world. Like you have a local board, you have the council, you have parliament. Oh, what's bigger than parliament and government? Oh, the UN, because that's where they all come together. And so that's the mindset. The UN is the pinnacle. And so when they come to make their policies on what should we be doing, oh, we'll look to the UN. And of course, the UN is a corrupt, godless, hell-bent on destroying Western civilization. And in part doing it through the sexuality courses that, as you have pointed out, our curriculum in places word for word mirrors what the UN says.
That's right.
And for saying this, like you and I are saying it, we're transphobic conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
But how lovely is it that you and I can say this, not just in our living room, not just over a coffee, but we can shout it out on Reality Check Radio. Because you wouldn't be saying this if you're on Radio New Zealand.
No, some people did try and get me on to some mainstream just to promote my tour, and not one wanted to hear us. And, I mean, we know that it's like that, but, like, wow, trying to get out to the echo chamber of, like, you do realise that what you're tuning into is fully controlled, like you talk about, you know, Orwellian Ministry of Truth. It doesn't represent the people at all. So how do we break outside the echo chamber, you know, into ordinary other people's lives that don't really know what's going on? That's our ultimate challenge, isn't it?
Your background is in branding. So you have the understanding of, I don't know, is the phrase mass psychology?
Yeah.
And you understand how a brand gets associated with a feeling, a mood, positive or negative. So your entire professional life has brought you to understand what this is, because this is a branding exercise par excellence.
So when the whole COVID thing came out, I turned everything off, and I noticed that the repetitive nature of everything, and I was like, how do people not see that what they've done is put this incredibly sophisticated, repetitive, and I didn't really think about it from a mind control point of view, campaign together. But of course, most people tapped into it, so they didn't notice. And then when I started looking into all of this trans stuff and the pride stuff, that's what I see. And that's why this deputy mayor called me a transphobic, because he pulled me up on using the word recruit when I use definitions of actual words, because I see this as a recruitment campaign, as very consistent, very professional. Everywhere you look is pride and the same words being used over and over again. So, yeah, from a marketing and branding point of view, it's branding 101 in recruitment, which is political, right? It's not about feelings and it's not about bullying. It's a political social engineering campaign. If it was truly there to help a small percentage of the marginalized people, it would be just doing that. It wouldn't be out there trying to promote itself as the solution to everyone who's bullied's problem. And it wouldn't be forcing people to do things like use pronouns or forcing girls to go into spaces where men should never be. If it was about a minority group and supporting them, you wouldn't see those things happening in society. Simple as that.
It's funny, I just think back to how naive I am. Sort of a short while ago, I just thought it was about stopping men get into girls' sports. But it's, then you think it's about protecting our kids from sexual material and confusing them in the sex part of the curriculum. And then you realize it's saturating them and not knowing who they are, hyper-focusing, to use Elizabeth Cave's phrase, on gender and race to the exclusion of character, faith, and humanity.
Yeah.
Penny Marie, you are amazing.
I feel like we didn't talk much about solutions.
No, but we explored the issues. Yeah. And out of that comes solutions. And we have to understand the extent of this. And attending your presentations made me go to another level of understanding, and I don't think we're still there yet. And that's why talking and discussing and getting feedback, because there'll be listeners, some will be disbelieving of us, I'm sure, thinking that we're over-dramatizing it or that it's just a few schools. Others will have information that will shock us, but they can all send me a text at 2057. They can email me, inbox@radiocheck.radio. And you can go to Penny Marie's webpage, Let Kids Be Kids, which is a wonderful resource. And Penny does this all on her own dime. Takes koha and donations, so if you can set your way to support what she's doing, do that. You may want to, if you're sufficiently seized like I am, form a little group in your area, because on your own, you're going to be hit by a freight train if you try and do anything. But with two, three, or four of you, you'll sort of up your brave, as Nat would say, and be able to do more and G each other along and stay strong, stay together. And on RCR, we can talk about this stuff and we can discuss it. Penny, I appreciate all that you do. And I think you're a wonderful mother. And you're helping all of us through your experience.
Thank you. And we're going to be doing a North Island tour shortly. So look out for us on our website, letkidsbekids.nz, or on our social media. Well, thank you so much for having us again.
We'll get you back before then so we can talk about and get people to know of your North Island tour.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
You're on Rally Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. That does get me going, that one, more than anything. I see that as the biggest threat we face, bigger than the threat of World War III. It's what's happening to our kids and their concept of who they are. Oh, we're very lucky to have Penny Marie, who's prepared to deep dive into it, because I can't even look at it. I get so angry. Thank you for listening, everyone. That was Penny Marie from Let Kids Be Kids.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom by simply visiting www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.